Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's head right out to Arrowhead. We're going to hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid at the podium right now on 96.5 The Fan.
As far as the injuries go, Mike Dana won't practice today, and Fulton won't practice today. Other than that, we look forward to challenge of getting ready to play a good Giants football team. You can really see that they've got a tremendous defense and a lot of skill on the offensive side, and their quarterback is playing well right now. So, and Brian does Brian does a good job, creative guy offensively. Plus, he's got Mike Kafka there on top of that. Mike's a sharp kid. And defensively, they've got a good scheme, one we've played against a couple of different times when Shane was at Tennessee. So, it's a good bunch there. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
So it sounds like you were expecting Xavier and Royals to both practice in some form today.
Yeah, they'll practice today.
How is Royals coming along with that name?
He's coming pretty good. Yeah. We'll just see how he does here. He's been out for a while, so I'd like to see how he moves around.
With Xavier, is there any limitations on the practice or anything of that nature?
No, neither of them. Yeah.
Travis said that after the drop, talking about that, that there's a lot on his plate and the team asked him to do a lot. At this point in his career, is there a tendency that maybe he has too much on his plate, that he would benefit from, load management gets used at this point in the player's career sometimes? Is it worth discussing that or talking about
it? Yeah, no, listen, I mean, Travis made so many of those catches right there, and I don't think that's an age thing or anything. At that point, so he's fine. We try to keep an eye on the best we can. Yeah. So.
Andy, just big picture, what do you see from the pass offense right now for you guys?
Yeah, probably the same thing you guys see. I mean, we're on at times, we're not on at times. So be the same thing you guys are seeing.
Gotta
keep working.
Sort of like also the big picture. Through two games, what are you seeing as far as some of the issues on third down, and what do you need to do to correct what's happening right now?
Yeah. Well, we've been throwing the ball in those situations. And you want to keep them manageable, first of all. And then we've got to hook up on them when called. So, and we can do a better job as coaches of putting them in a better position. So that's kind of the basics of it and what we've got to go through to do that.
Coach, I know you get input from Pat. You put together the game plan, say, hey, what do you like, what do you not like, and all that kind of stuff. How comfortable is he? How much is the formation part of that equation as well, specifically like Pat getting under center and maybe working from that formation as opposed to a shotgun or a pistol?
Yeah, he's actually grown into liking getting under there and doing that part of it. So we've worked a little bit more in there this year than we had in the past. Yeah.
You guys, the script at the beginning hasn't maybe been as good as worked out this year. What, can you put your finger on any parts of that? I know Xavier getting hurt at the very beginning was a tough one in week one.
Yeah, no, I've got to do a better job there. I can't stand here and tell you that we're going to try this or that. I mean, we're playing somebody here, so. To answer that question, I got to give you the plays.
Andy, speaking of that, how comfortable are you feeling with Patrick running as much as he has been?
Yeah, listen, Vahe, I'm okay with it. You know, as long as he can come back upright, we're okay. He's, I don't like him taking big hits, you know, but he's a competitive kid, so, you know, anyway, that's, yeah.
On the run game, you know, with Isaiah Pacheco and Green Hyde, just how have you, what have you seen from them that just haven't been able to get going?
Yeah, we can do a better job there. We'll get that thing going better, so.
You had Mike Kafka here as an assistant. What told you that he may be capable of calling plays?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like he could do it. Smart guy. Had played the position in the league. Had a good feel for defenses. You know, and had a great grasp of the offense. So, no reason he wouldn't be able to.
How often do you guys communicate? I'm sure not this week, obviously, but in the off season and so on.
We talk a couple times during the off season. Yeah, yeah.
Coach, do in the media and fans, we get all excited and everything. Do we overreact? We look at an 0-2 start, and do we overreact?
Well, listen, we haven't won the game, so it's I understand. I get it. But, you know, we keep pushing, and we'll keep pushing and working forward and see what we can do going down the road here. You know?
Andy, when you guys are winning, you typically just focus on the next game. I'm wondering, just because this is unfamiliar for you guys, is this something you address with the team at all? Just the start, what the record is right now?
No, I just try to fix the problems we might have, yeah, in all areas, including myself. So, yeah, that's what you have time to do. Be real with the guys. I'm not going to not tell them what I think, you know, so communicate with them and try to work it out and get it right.
Coach, there's some controversy going around the league right now, specific to Tom Brady on the Fox broadcast and co-owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. How much concern was that for you when you knew that he was going to be part of the broadcast team and he's getting to see your team from the broadcast point of view when he goes through production meetings?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know what he's doing for them, so I can't answer that. I mean, I don't know. He's done a good job as an announcer, I think. But I don't know that either because I really don't listen to it. I haven't really gotten into all that. Yeah.
Did you approach the in-production meeting differently with him than you would any other announcing team?
No, we're not, like, telling secrets in the production meeting. So, I mean, there's no – not giving him the plays and stuff in the production meeting. Yeah, but
there's no, you know – big guy touchdowns fire everybody up when you know, get an offensive lineman in there for a catch or anything. I'm curious, what do you do when Josh Simmons, you see the effort he puts in and tracks down a DB and takes him out? I mean, you roll that back a couple of times in the film session, or do you underscore, and what was kind of your reaction?
Yeah, sure, I thought that was pretty impressive. I mean, 300-pound man running like that and making the tackle like he did. And sure, we talked about it. That was one of the positives. So there are a lot of things we got to work on, but that was one of the positives of the game.
Last one, go ahead.
Mahomes' 30th birthday today. Can you put into perspective just what he's done throughout his 20s in the league?
Yeah, he's done quite a bit, you know, to 30. It's hard to believe he's 30 years old. I mean, time flies. I asked him if he felt old. You know, sometimes when you're in your 20s, you look at 30, and that looks like an old man. But says he feels the same. I told him that's a good thing, because when you get my age, you want to make sure you feel the same. Doggone it.
That was Andy Reid. We're expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes. A couple notable things at the beginning. Jalen Royals and Xavier Worthy will practice today. We don't know if they'll be limited. Obviously, that's something we won't learn until a little bit later on today when the official practice report comes out. But obviously, really positive sign, not just that Worthy is practicing, which is the big one, and everybody thinks there's a good chance he plays maybe Sunday, but this is the first practice Jalen Royals has had, Cody, in the regular season because this knee tendonitis has been a thing. I'm not saying he's going to come in whenever he can play and be a star right away, but given the current issues in the wide receiver room and offensively, a guy you drafted, you know, a decent spot in the draft, wouldn't hurt to have him available, so I like seeing that. Unfortunately, on the flip side, Mike Dana, Christian Fulton, not practicing.
It's so weird how we look at it. Christian Fulton hasn't been a part of either game plan the way it worked. He barely played in the first game, and he got hurt early enough in the second one that he wasn't a major factor there either, Gold. So they're already kind of accustomed to playing without Christian Fulton. Pass rush, however?
Yeah.
Dana is more important than their Royals. I'm not going to count on much for this week, but I'll take all the weapons back they can get. Royals hasn't practiced at all.
Yep.
He hasn't practiced. So him getting back to that and being available to him, let's just even say it's next week or the week after. That's still weeks that do not include Rashee Rice and give you other available pass catching options that aren't, I don't want to keep mentioning the same names, but the guys who probably shouldn't be a regular factor inside your offense. And so, yeah, I'm hopeful that Royals practicing does mean something. Andy, by the way, barely tells stuff in the press conference most of the time. I seriously
today
doubt
was
he's
also
ever told
short. Like today was very like basically, you know, Cody, do you think you like what you saw from blank player? Yeah, I like what I saw from blank player. Like it was very,
and then he said, I think Tom Brady's good in the booth, although I've never really listened to it. So I guess I don't actually know.
He did say, sensory game.
He did say, he's like, look, we're not giving out state secrets. He used my example.
Well, he especially is not. He is even more protective.
That's all I've said. Like, we don't have to rehash it. I agree with you. It looks terrible. The Brady stuff and all. Why are they allowing it? I'm just saying, it's overblown because they're not just Andy. Nobody's giving out any information that is groundbreaking in these meetings. That's all.
I just like when you listen to Ross Tucker and others, I don't disagree with you that there's like, I don't think they're coming in there and being like, here's our scripted 15 plays and then going into that. But here's our scripted 15. I don't think they do that.
Of course.
But it's also, it's an advantage only one team gets. One person,
right, but
one team.
What's
it
the
might
advantage?
Be a very small advantage.
Because as Ross said, like these guys are just not going to tell him anything, so problem solved.
And it depends on, and look, teams are going to tell them even less. Andy doesn't tell anybody anything anyway. Some teams are more open book. Some teams do share more information because they don't think everything is. Andy treats everything like it is a state secret.
For sure.
Whether or not a guy has a sniffle or is outside, so he treats it all like that. So
probably
he's
smart.
He's not going to, I don't know, sometimes it's overblown. Some of this stuff is like, you don't have to protect that, but it's fine. But so when they do that, like my whole thing is, I don't care if it's of 100% pie, it is a 0.001% advantage. Why the hell did they get it? Nobody else does. That's all. And the same thing applies that I've asked every team, that if you don't care that Tom Brady's in there, I would like Spags. Is that okay? Can I have Brett Veach? I would like them to attend every broadcast meeting virtually. Yeah. I don't see why it's a problem. You're telling me there's nothing in there? Let me send my guys. That's all I'm saying, is that if it is nothing, let us all have a representative on the broadcast meeting. We don't even ask questions. We'll just sit there while you ask questions. It's fine.
Tom, so you want 31 other people in the broadcast meeting?
Yeah, on the camera off, microphone off, just sitting in and listening.
So you want every other team to have a representative of every production meeting Tom Brady's in?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Why is that crazy? Okay. Why does he get to do it in
just say it out loud. It sounds crazy. Say it out loud.
No one's ever been on a Microsoft Teams meeting, 30 people. Not that many. You just put the camera on blank and you put the microphone on mute. They don't say anything. Just watch.
Would you rather have Spags
30 minutes?
Well, hang on. Would you rather have Spags spend 30 minutes of his time listening to Tom Brady's discussion about the Cowboys and Eagles or work on stopping
it's 30 minutes. Andy Reid works 18 hours a day. He works 30 minutes on that. I don't think he's getting one more moon ball stop.
Right.
Like now we're overplaying the idea that 30 minutes is going to be the difference between a win or a loss for Spags.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a grad assistant, essentially, you know? I don't care if it's the assistant DB's coach.
Yeah, teams are just not going to tell him anything. So, I mean, teams are just not going to say anything.
I think that is going to happen. I think they'll be real tight-lipped.
Back to what he said, though. The Christian Fulton one is really concerning
because
he hasn't
been a major player yet.
Yeah, I mean, this was a guy that they have a nice contract to in the offseason, and yet here we are, and he played a little bit in week one, and I mean a little bit. And now it's not trending great. I guess there's a chance he still practices tomorrow, but it's trending to where he's not going to be available for week three. And then, okay, is this going to be a guy that every week we're like day to day, and all of a sudden he'll play week nine, Cody, and then and then he's out for two more weeks. Is this going to be the story all year? I really liked the signing at the time. I think he's a pretty good football player, would allow them to do some things in the secondary, specifically with moving Trent McDuffie around.
Which they found a way to put him in the slot in that game last time.
But you've got to be available.
Christian Fulton's a tough one because they did find a way, Gold, to get him in on third down, as I had mentioned a couple of times. They found a way to get Trent McDuffie in the slot on third down where they would prefer him because he's the best slot defender in the NFL. But if you go back through Christian Fulton's thing, has been his career. He played two games his rookie year, 13, 11, 11. These are the number of games he started. 13, 11, 11, 14. So historically, Gold, he misses four or five games.
All right, let's hear from number 15, Patrick Mahomes, speaking now on 96.5 The Fan.
Just self-scouting yourself after the start, just looking at the tape of the last game. What are you evaluating, and what you guys can do better?
Yeah, I think for myself, just being better at executing in some of those earlier moments in the game especially. I mean, there was guys open, obviously Noah early, but even more than that, just if I kind of sit in that pocket a little bit longer, trust those guys, get the ball to the guys down the field, I feel like we can make some more explosive plays. And so that was stuff I scouted on myself. But knowing we're going up against a good defensive team this week, especially that D-line, and so finding the right moments to take those shots downfield but not taking the negative plays as well.
In the pocket longer, is that something you frequently saw on tape or just here or there?
Just here or there, mostly. I mean, I think even some of the runs that I made, if I would have just stayed a little bit longer, I could have made some throws to guys and let them make some plays happen. And so obviously the runs work, and so you have success in the play and stuff like that. But when you look back on the tape, sometimes you want to make sure that you're going through the progression the right way.
Patrick, Travis said that, you know, he's got a lot of this play. The team asks a lot for him, and he feels like he has to, you know, meet that. And he talked about even last year feeling like he needed to be on the field for you when a lot of guys were hurt. Do you feel like this team maybe sometimes asks for too much from Travis, and maybe, you know, load management, if you will, you know, would help him be fresher and longevity?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I know he wants to be out there at the end of the day. I mean, he wants to have the chance to make the plays happen, and he's made the plays happen for years. And so I don't feel like we asked for too much from him, but I mean, we asked for him to be out there and be himself and just be who he is. And I think that in itself is enough for us. And so I wouldn't, that's probably a question you can ask Trav, but I feel like he's in a good spot, and it's hard to get him off the field. I know that.
Patrick, in the past, you talked about explaining to guys, you had to explain to guys, you know, just keep running. If I'm scrambling, I'm going to find you if you're open. Have you had to explain that to Tyquan at all or anyone else?
No. I mean, I think Tyquan's done a great job to start the year. I mean, I've missed him on some throws, and he's made big plays happen as well. And so I think if he continues to play like he's playing, he'll continue to have big plays within this offense. And he's got a great role in this offense. And so I think just – for us in general, I think it's just execution stuff. I mean, we're just barely off here and there. And in the NFL, if you're playing good defenses, if you miss plays, then the drives stall out. And so we're just going to continue to work and continue to practice and learn those things. And as we get guys back, we'll continue to execute at a higher level.
Patrick, I wanted to take you way back, shift gears. When you were 5 years old, going to New York, you're going back to New York, what do you remember when you were 5 years old about that?
It's some of my best memories. I think just my dad being on the Mets and playing in those National League Championship Series versus the Braves, or playing in the World Series versus the Yankees. And that's when I could first start remembering stuff. And I don't know what the rules are back then, but they just, like, had me out on the field. Like, I was taking ground balls with, like, Derek Jeter and then shagging fly balls. And so it was super cool, and I had a lot of great experiences. Then back at the time, the Mets were my favorite team because my dad had the most success. And it's fun to be able to go to New York, and it's such a great city, and play a football game there now.
Patrick, what gives you faith that this team can handle 0-2?
I think it's just the people that we have in the locker room. Like, it's, even though we've never been 0-2, we've had stretches where we've lost big games kind of consecutively, and guys have responded. You know, like, it's about the character of the guys in the locker room more than it is the play on the football field. And I think that we have the guys that are going to continue to work. They're not going to let this kind of push them down, and they're going to use it, if anything, as motivation to be even better. And so I think that gives me the most faith. And then the coaches that we have, they'll continue to push to be even better. And so we'll have a great week of practice this week, and knowing we're going to play our best football to win a game against a good football team in the Giants.
I mean, you have had a couple of times in your career we've lost a couple of games. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been the beginning, as you said. But what do you have to do specifically, not on the field? But is there a responsibility in the meeting rooms and all that stuff? Or you still play it 1 week at a time and don't try to make anything bigger?
You take it 1 week at a time, but I think just continue to even amplify the little details. I mean, sometimes when you're winning a lot, those little details get lost, and that's how you lose. But when you lose early like this, you have to really just – focus on those little details and maximize those. And then you try to set the example on the practice field and stay after and do extra stuff and do a little bit here and there and push other guys to do the same. And so we're really good at that. And I feel like we've had great weeks of practice. And so that's why I have faith, is that I know how these guys are working and how hard these guys are pushing to be even better. And so now it's just about putting it together on game day, which I've seen these guys do before. And so I have faith that we'll do that.
How positive, Patrick, was it for you? Because we didn't get to ask you this last week. How positive was it for you to see Xavier
on the practice field to get a couple days with him? And what are you hoping to reestablish with him if he is able to go on Sunday?
Yeah, I think more than anything, is having him out there is just a threat in general. I mean, he can at any moment take a pass, and short or long, and he could take it to the house. And so having him out in the practice field was very encouraging last week, because, I mean, obviously we didn't know after that injury in Brazil, but seeing him out there, I mean, he wanted to stay out there. It was kind of like holding him back. And so hopefully we can go through a good week of practice and have him out there. But if not, guys will step up and guys will make plays. And so I'm just excited to get those guys back and be able to go out there and try to have some success on offense better than we did this last week.
We'll go across the room. Bye, go ahead.
Patrick, I'm sure you're too busy to be thinking much about this, but sometimes the 30th birthday is a reflective time. I just wonder if it's a particularly meaningful birthday to you and what thoughts you have about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's meaningful in a sense. It's always hard for me, my birthday in general, especially this year with the losses, but being early in the season, you're so focused on football and trying to get us going in the right direction. But we celebrated in the off season, and we went down and I hung out with some of my friends. We all grew up together, and you see them, and like I'm a little ahead of them, but all of them, their wives are pregnant, and like they're getting there. They're finally at, like, their jobs that they're gonna have for the rest of their lives and stuff like that. And so it is cool to see everybody moving on in life and building their own families, and see how we've came from Little League baseball to where we are now.
And Andy said you told him you don't feel any different today.
No, nah, I feel the same. I got kids, man. I've been 30 forever.
There you go. Patrick Mahomes. Oh, they're still going. Okay.
With it being a new offensive line initially here, I mean, how much confidence do you have that you can go through your progression from you have the time?
I have confidence in it. I just got to continue to show that on game days. I think that's probably the biggest thing I saw is that there was times where I left the pocket early this last week, even on some of the runs. And I'm like, if I could just sit in that pocket and trust those guys, they're going to protect. I mean, that's a good Eagles defensive line, obviously. And we're going up against another great challenge. But the more I trust him, I think the better the offense will be. And so I'm going to continue to do that and try to hang in that pocket and make throws down the field.
Kirby? You mentioned having the confidence to make those kinds of throws. But how much of that also has applied to some of the struggles on third down that y'all are facing now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to continue to get the chains moving, but there's a time and a place where you got to take the shots down the field. And even like the throw to Tyquan that I had down the sideline that barely missed early in the game, I thought that was the right decision. It's just we just didn't execute it at the right time. And so you look back on that stuff on film, and you have to take those shots because those are shots that can change games. And but knowing when to do that and when to just move the chains and do stuff like that is something that we'll continue to work on.
Patrick, you guys haven't had a lot of success in the run game, the cold runs, not necessarily your scrambles and everything, but the analytics say that they're not really stacking the box on you. And is that, you know, a big part of the problem is that you're going to the runs when the alignment says, hey, that's what we need to do, and you're not getting the productivity there?
I think it's something you have to continue to trust in. I mean, that's part of football is being able to trust in the run game, and whenever they are in the light boxes, run the football and force them to come down to throw some of the shots down the field. I think that will come together even more and more as the O-line continues to gel and the running backs can gel with the O-line as well. And so more than just pass protection, I mean, when you have two new offensive linemen joining in, it's about building that chemistry. And so I think as the season goes on, they'll continue to get better at that.
Last two, Sam and then Nick. Go, Sam.
Patrick, how much do you feel a record, like whether, you know, it's last season, whether it is 0-2, does the ensuing week feel differently based on what you did the last week?
I think obviously just being 0-2, there's more urgency than even last week. I mean, and I felt like we were very urgent last week. So definitely new territory as far as being 0-2, but knowing that we got the guys for it. You know, we have the mindset of going out there and being even better. And so in my eyes, it looks like what an opportunity. What an opportunity to prove who we are as the Kansas City Chiefs is coming back from 0-2 and trying to build up to win a big football game on Sunday Night Football and try to get our season going in the right direction from there.
Sorry, Steve, go ahead.
Patrick, earlier in your career, we didn't see you like lower your shoulder like you've been doing, getting contact. Is that something that you're doing now just to, you know, give a boost of energy to the team or get a spark? Or
I think just pick and choosing, I think, more than anything. It's just knowing when to do it and when not to do it, protecting yourself, but still being a football player and a competitor. So I think that's it more than anything. And then Brad says to Taco Bell, so that does it for me too.
Yeah, Patrick, for you, playing on Sunday Night Football, what's different about that than playing on any other day or night?
I've always loved Sunday Night Football. You know, you grow up, you watch Sunday Night Football, and you get the spotlight on you. It's night game, you get the lights get brighter. and you get to showcase who you are. And I think it's a great opportunity for us. I mean, obviously, with the start that we have, we want to prove that we're a better football team than we've shown these first 2 weeks, and Sunday Night Football will be the perfect time to do it.
Thanks.
There you go. Patrick Mahomes speaking here on 96.5 The Fan. Yeah, Sunday Night Football, it's a big deal, man. You get the Carrie Underwood intro as well. You get everything. Sunday Night Football, great theme. I actually like Tirico and Collinsworth. So
I do too. I hope that's a good crew together, honestly. I hope that it lasts for a few more years.
Of course, on a Wednesday, our lunch partner, our friends over at Jefferson's. It's football season. There's no better place to watch your favorite team than over at Jefferson's. They got great daily specials, of course, a great happy hour, and locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, and Joplin. Bring your friends and family out to Jefferson's for the ultimate game day experience. Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters, and how about we help you out with a $50 gift card? What call? You want to do Mahomes' birthday? 15
yeah,
or 30?
Yeah, 15.
15, okay.
I don't think caller, we don't want to do 30.
Make
to
Drew work. Caller number 15 to 913-586-7965. Caller number 15.
Easily the most interesting stuff out of there from Patrick Mahomes is about where this team is and the feeling of being 0-2. Look, he's right in the sense that you can prove a lot and show a lot of your fortitude by overcoming it, erasing it quickly, and becoming a team that is back on the winning side of things. But they know what we know, man. He's like, we felt pretty urgent after 0-1 with the Eagles in town. Now, it's up to 1,000. Because the problem is if you lose to the Giants this Sunday, it will instantly feel like a lost season. Instantly feel that way. And I'm not saying that it would be guaranteed or that that would for sure be the case. But from a team perspective, it's going to be hard to reconcile that.
Yeah, then panic's a real thing at that point.
Yeah, to say all the things are still ahead of us and everything is all just fine. We'll get it fixed. We're working it. You can't say the same adage or things you've been used to if you lose this one to the Giants. You should have ultimate urgency in every game moving forward here for a while.
It is a must-win on Sunday night. Plain and simple. It is a must-win. Record-wise, opponent, all of it together, it is a game you have to win. Otherwise, it is fine to say, oh, they're getting this player back. All that. At some point, you have to win football games. You know, we'll talk about it on Friday, I'm sure. We all know the stats and trends out there. It's one thing when you're 0-2. It's a completely different thing when you're 0-3, even just to make the playoffs, let alone the conversations about what's going to happen in the AFC West. That would be the least of your worries if you start 0-3, is, oh my gosh, the division's done. No, you'll be worrying about the playoffs at that point. And I understand this organization has had a 1-5 season before under Andy Reid, but you got to get the one. You got to get the one, get to 1-2, and we can worry about the Baltimore Ravens the next week and see if it's 2-2 or it's a 1-3 start. You can't start 0-3. You just can't do it.
No, there's you can't afford it at any point of the season. And so if you don't, you're going to run into an issue.
Drew, you're turning 30 soon, right? Next month. And so what do you make of Mahomes, who just turned 30 today, saying, now he's got kids and stuff. You don't, obviously. But he said, you know, he's felt 30 for a while. We were giving you a hard time a few weeks ago because we think, you know, the public posting of the workout stuff, we think that is the 30-year-old thing going on here.
Oh, no, I would say over the last year, I'm not grown up, I guess, in a way, but like reflecting on this year, there's a lot that's going on where I've like grown up in a way where I'm, you know, confident and everything like that. And that's why the Instagram posting is there. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel like I'm 30. People can say age is just a number. I embrace potential. I embrace turning 30 here in 30 some days.
Oh, perfect.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't think.
No, but it's the opposite.
I feel Mahomes like I'm 30.
I've been 30 forever. You're like, I've been 25 forever. I think you're going the other way.
No, I've been 29 since October 21st of last year, and I'm going to be 30, and I'll continue on. Like I don't have kids. You know, I'm very happy where I'm at. I feel what my age is.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Do you want one for Drew?
Enjoy your birthday, Patrick.
Now, someone said are we doing Chuck's Arcade for Drew's birthday?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about a Chuck's Arcade
trip. That was on the list, too. Not only the mashed potato thing, but
we'll
also
do smelling salts,
mashed potatoes, and Chuck's Arcade. It's a hell of a 30th birthday party, yeah.
In fairness, Golds was in the middle of COVID, and we just did shots in the studio, and I got him a princess banner that said, happy birthday.
That did happen.
That's awesome.
And a little trophy that said,
that was almost 5 years ago. We're good. You guys don't need to get me anything. We can do a shot on my birthday, but you guys don't have to get me anything.
Are you going to work on your birthday?
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. People take their birthday off all the time. I have no problem with people taking their birthday
off. We've had this discussion.
You got to stop shaming people
for
choosing to take their birthday off. Who cares?
We've talked about this.
You don't have to.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Like, if you're going on a trip or something, fine. I think it's weird if you just randomly said, oh, it's Wednesday, I'm turning 34, let me just take the day off. I think that's a very weird thing to do as a grown adult, but that's my opinion.
No,
yeah.
I don't
think it's weird at all. I think it's fine. I don't care.
Hey, I don't have a problem with it. I will probably be working. I'm going to be amped up because it's the start of the NBA season too on my birthday, so I'm very excited.
What's the exact date? I can never
October 21st. I think 21st. It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
Is it?
Yeah. Perfect time.
It's not a great birthday. Not a great 30th birthday day. Tuesday. It's kind of like the worst day.
He's just trying to kill his whole vibe.
When you're an adult, though, I don't think it matters. Like,
all right, both of you guys.
No, shaming people for enjoying their birthday. No. I enjoy it. No. Taking a day off is fine by me. I'm not going to because I don't feel the need to take a day off. Where, like, if you're in school, I got to go to school on my birthday. That, to me, I hated that more than I get to be here, and it doesn't feel like a job for me to be here. It doesn't feel like I don't not want to be here. So it's fine. Like I'm fine with coming in.
Someone says you should take the day after your birthday off. Honestly, take the day after.
That actually might be a
better idea. Enjoy the birthday.
Take all week. You know, screw it, Drew.
Oh, someone says they're turning 30 on Friday. There you go.
Hey,
early birthday to you.
Happy early birthday.
Big, someone says a lot of learning this last year. Ready for the 30s. They also have a kid.
That's what I'm saying. There's been a lot of learning this year, but I have been 29, and I embrace being 29, just like I'll embrace being 30.
You're saying this like it's
fun.
E-card
fun. Like, I think for people, if you're looking at 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever, and you're like, man, I turned 30 this year. This is you're looking at it all wrong. You got to embrace.
Well,
being
I don't think
30.
You have to dread it. I'm not saying you should be dreading it. I do it just. It was the Instagram post change.
I will give the Patrick Mahomes answer to this. He kind of just gave it as well, right there.
Okay.
It's not I have to be 30. I get to be 30. The Chiefs get to play on Sunday Night Football against the Giants. They get to be able to bounce back from 2-0. I get to be 30. I'm embracing it. I think it's a lot. Look, I'm excited. I think it's a lot of fun.
Talking like a motivational speaker.
Okay, so you said it, not me.
Because
I was about to say, this is fine. Have you been reading like a motivational book or a motivational podcast? And it's fine if you. It sounds like a lot of quotes from that.
No.
Okay. That's definitely what it sounds like.
That's fine.
It sounds like he's been listening to tape like you.
Yeah,
you are
like,
strong.
Like
you are powerful.
Shout out to the person who said that they're turning 30 on Friday because just the same as them. There's a lot of learning this year, you know.
Top text, Drew. You want to read that one?
Maturing is not thirst trapping your body. I'm not. Listen, if you view that as thirst trapping, you're also looking at it from the wrong angle because that's not what it is.
Yeah.
I went on a run.
No cares about your birthday, Drew.
Damn.
Move on.
Damn.
In fairness, we didn't even
birthday. Again,
well, because Mahomes'
once
birthday.
Again, yeah. The text line is wrong. And who brought the discussion up? I didn't say any. Why would I bring up my own birthday? What sort of selfish
Drew,
person does that?
I think you should take your birthday off. I'm gonna take it off for you. I'm gonna tell Spec you're not working.
You're taking off Tuesday.
I won't also take it off. I'm just saying you should take it off.
Off for your birthday. That'd be weird.
I was gonna say the way that you said it made it seem like.
Well, if we are gonna go do something, let's all take off. We're gonna Chuck's Arcade.
I'll be honest. That actually would be pretty.
Let's go to Chuck's Arcade.
If we did
on a Tuesday, what are we talking about on a Tuesday anyway? You know,
are they even open during our show?
I have no idea. I genuinely don't
because
know.
Some places like that aren't even open.
A little day drinking.
Up next, let's talk a little Royals baseball with Josh Vernier as the Royals obviously only have, 11 or so games to go in the season. Plus, we'll get to the random.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Question of the day. It was brought to our attention by Drew during the break. Did you see an Instagram post from a former member of the Chiefs?
I follow very few athletes on Instagram.
It's a real post from, I don't know, 15,
I don't follow him. I just saw it.
15 hours or so ago.
Okay. From?
From the airport.
Is it Mecole Hardman?
It says, been a minute, with a heart emoji, and it's a picture of the Welcome to Kansas City sign at MCI.
Are you getting ready to tell me Mecole Hardman?
JRoss.5 on Instagram.
Is that a dollar in the jar for even mentioning it?
This is
Justin
this is worth
Ross?
It.
So he posted a photo from the...
It's clearly Kansas City.
Airport?
Yep. Last night.
Is he signing here? Or does he just happen to like be in town?
I have no idea. I would say, truly, I don't know why signing would make sense at this point. Royals is just now getting back healthy. He's practicing today. Worthy's practicing today. Hollywood Brown did not have a setback. He's practicing today.
Jody Fortson also in town? Or
bring them all back. Yeah, bring them all back. I don't know. Just yeah, it's sure. funny, given the conversations we've had about Justin Ross on this show. All right, let's talk some Royals baseball with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Vern, look, this series was supposed to be a packed house, was supposed to be all this buildup. That obviously did not set up the way. It's a major bummer. It's all about looking ahead to 26. What's the vibe like out at Kauffman the last night or so?
The people showing up are, well, you know, Mariners fans, plenty of Mariners fans last night. Kauffman Stadium remains a bucket list visit for most baseball fans.
Yeah.
Inside the park, it could be August, it could be July, it could be June. Fans are still into it. Inside the clubhouse, I think it's set in, and I think it happened on the road trip. Reality slapped this team in the face, especially that Friday loss to Philadelphia. To me, it took that team 48 hours to regroup from that one. So really, out at the ballpark doesn't feel really all that different. Now, as far as the series itself, yeah, no doubt about it, man. You were hoping that this would be for that final American League postseason spot, but instead the Mariners have moved on to bigger and better things, and the Royals are, tragic number of four with 11 to play. So it's, it could be over as early as Friday.
What did you make of Carter Jensen's obviously biggest night of his career so far? Gets his first couple of career homers, multi-hit. Now his season-long numbers, which are only 9 games, look good. How have you viewed Carter Jensen's start? Obviously, Cags, who we can talk about in a minute, it's been a slow start for him. Carter Jensen, so far so good. What do you make?
Yeah, and having him behind the dish, it's nice. Again, it's a reflection of reality slapping this team in the face. But I'm glad to see it because I believe Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione, there you go, Kansas City. There's your answer for 2026. We're all disappointed in the offense in 2025, and I think the offense is the culprit as to why this team's going to fall short of the postseason. Now, I think they'll be active in free agency, but I only think they're going to bring in platoon-type players. Unless they're going to part with someone of note out of this lineup, to me, you're only going to bring in a platoon-type player. So the big additions from last year's opening day to next year's opening day, it's Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen. And I believe if I would have told you that last year on opening day, we'd be all for it.
Right.
And yet, I think we're going to show up on opening day next year, and those two are still going to be giant question marks. Now, you're right. Carter Jensen, what a night last night. Although, in the same breath, he was one half of a battery that allowed a season-high 12 runs. So, that's baseball. You can have the night of your life offensively, and your team has one of its most embarrassing performances of the season.
Cole Reagan's coming off the IL, gonna go tonight. What's the expectation there? Is this more get a start or two before this thing's over and hopefully we can go into 2026 and be able to count on this guy?
Yeah. And you know, why I like the idea of other general managers seeing Cole Reagans, and hopefully Cole Reagans looking like the guy that we all believe him to be. It's unfortunate that Chris Bubich, the guy on an expiring contract, can't give any general managers peace of mind about his health. So, again, another avenue for this team to possibly improve the offense. But, again, center field, left field, second base really appear to be the only open positions. And how many at-bats are open at second base? Are you really going to wave goodbye to Jonathan India? Or are you really going to pay him, you know, $8-plus million next season? You know, Michael Massey, I think he's still in the cards next season. So, Cole Reagans tonight. Last time out, got up near 60 pitches. You would think you could get near 75, 80. Hopefully it's an efficient 75, 80 pitches, can get you through five-plus innings. But, yeah, this is about you know, allowing him to get back on the mound, take some confidence into the offseason, and, of course, some self-assurance for the organization and a little peek for everyone else in Major League Baseball, just in case they want to call about Cole.
Vern, does the 10 or 12 games we've seen from Jack Caglione look any better than the first 40 you saw?
You know, they'll tell you that they do. You ask people that know more than you, and they'll say that his chase numbers are better when you couple what he did in AAA with what he's doing now in the big leagues, both a second time through. You know, to me, and this is a point I was trying to make yesterday, you know, the size of question marks that Cags and Carter are going to be next season. I mean, the only boxes they've checked this year are they can answer the bell, right? They could post, they can play a full season. So that's good. They can handle left-handed pitching. That's good. But outside of that, they belong here. I'll give them that as well. But really, no matter what they do over the final 11 games, no matter what Cags did in September, to me, those question marks were going to remain on opening day. The season likely, the offense likely, hinges on those two already for 2026, and it's likely a conversation hopefully us three have for months to come.
Is one of the nicest storylines this year. We had said he had to get through an entire season without even a freak injury. The fact that Vinny Pasquantino can play a full season of baseball. Cause last year it looked like he was barreling towards that until the freak injury. And now this year, same thing, healthy, playing, available. Like I view this almost as two full seasons of being fully available, Vern, because last year was such a weirdo freak one.
Right.
So like, I feel like those questions are behind us.
Yeah, it's validation of what he did last year. It silences the Twitter haters that I'm sure he's still encountering because he is still at times finding himself on social media making that mistake. But yeah, 30 and 100, and it should align for him to get a nice fat payday coming up in his first trip through arbitration with Lucas Erceg, with, you know, Angel Zerpa, with Michael Garcia, not to mention Bobby's salary is going to double next year. Salvi's going to be making a pretty penny. Seth Lugo's going to be your highest paid player next season. So, Vinny, very nice season. But this is who you guys thought he was coming into the season. It's who I thought he was coming into the season. It's who he thought he was. So, you know, it's nice to see, but I don't think any of us are shocked by it.
I guess to that point, like Michael Garcia, it's like, does that go into the question mark for next year too? As in just, hey man, can you be that but twice?
Mm.
You know, like we loved what we saw this year. Can you be the same Michael Garcia as we got this season again?
Yeah, that's a fair question. Although I don't share that sentiment.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I'm not saying I'm right. You know, I could be dead wrong. We've seen players have really great seasons and, you know, flame out, although, boy, this is one really great season. I mean, one of the 15 best players in Major League Baseball. You couple them with Bobby Witt Jr., and it's a duo we've seen maybe once in the history of this franchise, and you have to go back 45 years to George and Willie Wilson. What Michael does to me, it obviously it's not Bobby, but it is very diet Bobby. It's that speed doesn't slump. Even when his bat isn't producing for extra bases, he's still finding a way to get on first, and he's still making plays on the left side of the infield and could hold it down at shortstop. I think he could hold it down at shortstop for a full season. So you're telling me you got a 5-tool player that can play the most premium position on the dirt. Outside of injury, I just don't see where that goes. You know, we were so disappointed with him in 2024 because we all saw this in 2023. So to see it fully blossom in 2025 makes you think that maybe mistakenly, but Michael and Bobby, Salvi and Vinny, Caglione and Carter, man, that's 2/3 of your everyday lineup you would assume moving forward. Seems like a nice foundation when coupled with a pretty strong, when healthy, rotation.
With the recent accomplishment with Salvi over the weekend, unfortunately, because the team's play probably doesn't get as much attention as it should, but does that solidify his Cooperstown bid?
Yeah. The way that he's talked about, right? People are often, and you guys know this, in our business, people are often sheep, right? If the narrative becomes one thing, many people will just go along with it. Now, Salvi deserves it, but I believe it's been widely accepted to a point where it's not really even debated on, who's debating baseball? MLB Network, you know, MLB Network Radio. I mean, not many people are debating baseball, but when they are, Salvi's name is not that, in my opinion, or at least what I consume. Salvi's name is no longer on the bubble. He's in. He deserves to be in. And hopefully him going in opens the door for a guy like Lance Parrish and maybe some others that have been overlooked because I don't think we've properly put into perspective just how difficult that position is. And I think we're going to make that mistake again when Aaron Judge wins the MVP.
Oh, don't do it. Come on. What a bummer. You know, at least in the NFL, they understand the idea of narrative. You got a catcher hitting 56 homers. Make him the MVP. It doesn't have to be. It should be Kyle Raleigh anyway. But, like, especially when you just consider, like, fandom and everything else. Why not just pump up somebody else?
Yeah, Steve Nash MVP. Yeah. No. And that's not to denigrate Nash or Cal Raleigh. But, again, I mean, the home run derby, it's been the year of Cal Raleigh. When I look at Baseball Reference 30 years from now, I should see and I should quickly acknowledge that 2025 was the year of Cal Raleigh. I shouldn't have to expand the AL MVP voting to see his name.
Yeah, I don't need another year of like, I got it. Aaron Judge is one of the faces of baseball. I don't need to see it again, I guess.
Yeah, how about Shohei, though? Like, to me, Shohei
no hitter last night
to win
five.
I still think he... I don't have Michael Jordan, Shaq, LeBron fatigue when it comes to Shohei. Keep giving him MVP.
Josh Vern, you're our Royals insider. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
There you go. Good stuff from Vern. And yeah, I mean, look, Aaron Judge, of course, is having an absolutely insane season
Raleigh.
I mean, Aaron Judge batting .349, 1.222 OPS in September. That's just the September numbers to this point in time. But yes, this year, Cal Raleigh absolutely deserves it. It's not a pity award. He absolutely has crushed. He's got more home runs as a switch hitter in baseball than we've ever seen in baseball for a switch hitter.
Yeah, he passed Mickey Mantle. Yes,
he's passing
Mantle.
Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. He's a catcher.
And the Mariners are currently leading the AL West. They might be division champs if they hold on over the Astros. It's kind of wild.
This is also the second year in a row that I am told all these baseball stats and all these things that matter,
we just ignore it.
It just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that Aaron Judge plays a non-valuable position in Major League Baseball and that Cal Raleigh plays freaking catcher or that Bobby Witt Jr. played shortstop. I have to pay attention to WAR, F-WAR, slugging, or a million other nonsense numbers. But defense doesn't matter, ever. And it's crazy.
It is. And also, the catcher position, and I know he doesn't play there every single day. I don't know the exact count. Someone would have to look it up. How many days behind the dish? I don't know. My point is, you would have thought he would have worn out. But he hasn't. He hasn't.
He had two homers against the Royals last night.
They were atrocious last night. Cal Raleigh, embarrassed them to a certain extent. Michael Wacha did not have it.
Look up the splits. I'm curious. As far as Cole Reagans goes.
Cole Reagans, it'd be nice if he has two good starts before you get out of here, because then I guess is an opportunity. It gives you some options for what you can do. You know, I was mentioning earlier in the show, I think if you think they're going to trade for an outfielder, then it involves, to me, someone that has control because of the injuries. I guess if Cole Reagans looked good, maybe he's in play again. I don't think Chris Bubich is tradable this offseason because of the injury.
I think it's really tough. I think he'd be more of a midseason guy if things were going poorly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But obviously
yes.
You don't want it to be going that way. By the way, I looked it up. Cal Raleigh caught 113 games, 34 a DH.
That's crazy. All right.
Random question.
So I'd say enough. Mm-hmm. Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We've been interacting all day. Over on the video streams as well. Simple question today. 1587 opens. The official menu with prices is out.
1587 Prime.
So what I want to know from you guys is, I want an app, I want a drink,
okay,
and I want an entree. I want to know what you're looking. First day there, what are you ordering? It's on the house, let's say, in the hypothetical. Mm-hmm. You get to choose three things. An appetizer, a drink, and an entree. What are you going with?
All right. So on the menu, there's a spot that says for the table. So we're going to do this to start as the app. For the table, some 1587 Wagyu meatballs, okay? I've seen photos of this from people already.
They look
incredible. That's the starter.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll share some of the meatballs for starters. Then you know what I'm doing for the steak.
So you're going meat and meat?
Yes, I'm at a steakhouse. Yes, I'm loading up.
Your balance is all up.
No,
it's a steak. And meat?
It's an appetizer, Cody. Yeah. I'm not eating three meatballs and then having a filet.
I'm having
the meatballs, then I'm getting the 8-ounce Wagyu filet, and then, let's see, I haven't looked at admittedly, of all the sides. I don't even know. I'm going to ignore the
sides. You can skip a side, just give me a drink. All the drinks have like the fun names like Jet Chip Wasp and Red Sea and all that stuff.
Yeah. So from an appearance, I will say the Alchemy one looks really cool if you just want to have a show at the table.
It's pretty bougie.
Otherwise, probably going with the Big Yeti and try that.
The Big Yeti. What's in the Big Yeti?
Gentleman's Cut Bourbon, Bullet Rye, Bitters. I don't know how to pronounce some of this.
Demerara. That's
sure.
Sugar.
Perfect. Sugar.
So it's kind of
just
like...
Just say sugar, okay?
Well, it's like raw sugar.
It's sugar.
You know, like the crunchy kind of brown
kind of
sugar.
But that would be what I would roll with that. And also a baked potato if they have it with... if it's a possibility.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm.
I want a baked potato.
Hold on, but it's not your kind of baked potato.
Twice baked potato.
I know, but it's got all the extra stuff you don't normally like. Smoked Gouda, creme fraiche, beef, bacon, chives,
and
black truffle.
Well, then I guess,
truffle.
Cody, I'm going mashed potatoes and broccolini, all right?
All right. I was just asking. Drew, I'll get my answer in a minute. What are you going with?
Okay, so for the appetizer, the black truffle grilled cheese sounds good.
I'm interested on
the table.
That is an appetizer. Is it like little mini squares? Has anyone seen a photo of this one?
I have not. I would assume it has to be. That's why, you know, for the table, assuming it would.
Okay.
I have seen a picture of the boneless ribeye. It looks bomb. So
okay.
I would get
a boneless ribeye,
16-ounce. And then my side would be sautéed spinach. Love a good spinach. And then the Alchemy is the drink.
Ooh,
that's the one with the cool presentation.
Mm. Okay, so I would go... So for the appetizers, honestly, the appetizers all look very good.
It's a great selection.
I would eat genuinely any of them because I'm very tempted by this fried chicken. I kind of want to see what's going on here. It's just like... Honey Trio is what they call it. But I think I would go, one of my favorite all-time apps is a crab cake. So I'm going to do that.
Okay. All right.
Favorite all-time appetizer is probably a crab cake. So I'm going that. I would do the Japanese A5 New York strip for this sake.
Okay.
I don't need 8 ounces. 6 ounces is enough, especially with like the other food on the table. And I'd like to make it clear. I would add the sauce.
Yeah,
like,
there is a bunch of options. Yeah.
And I would probably do, although there is a Mahomes ketchup flight. For the steaks, which is very funny.
Of course.
Very, very, very funny. I would just do a béarnaise, but I'm pretty open on that. Doesn't necessarily need a sauce, but they got
Mahomes ketchup flight is unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Of course, it's $15 for the Mahomes ketchup flight.
How fancy are these ketchups?
Three for 15.
Oh, 3 for 15. And then I was trying to decide, like, so the cocktails, is a really, feels like tea influence. Feels like just a lot of, like, those versions. Like, there's one with green tea and one with... There was like one with like a different aroma, an oolong, and the Alchemy's got oolong, which is tea and all this. And so I was like, I don't know.
All right, man, just make a decision.
So
make a decision,
like,
you know?
In the end, well, I was trying to decide, but
Cody's just trying to list off as many fancy food and culinary words as possible during the segment.
I would just mention it had a lot of tea. I think I would just go with the Kingdom Come, which is like a tequila-based drink.
Nice.
It's got like orange and curacao and pomegranate and all that.
Did you guys look at the desserts?
I didn't, but
I didn't look at the desserts.
They have.
It's all such like stock restaurant.
I've seen the video of
Cheesecake Carrot Cake is all the same.
The video of the cast iron chocolate chip cookie with ice cream on top looked pretty darn good.
Mm.
Cheesecake can't go wrong. Yeah, like you said, Cody, these are kind of standard. But
Someone says my wife's boss gave us a $200 gift card for our birthdays.
Reservation October. Very nice.
Okay, each got $200, you're going to order everything.
That's very, very nice. Now, at some point, I'll make my way there, but you can't. It's booked up until they haven't opened up reservations past October 21st or 2nd. So at some point, I will make my way there. I'm excited to try it. The restaurant looks absolutely beautiful from the way they designed it. So looking forward to it at some point. But yeah, it does open up tonight.
I assumed you would have just gotten the cheesecake. You said you like cheesecake. It's one of your favorite desserts.
It is.
I'm not going to lie. This apple pie a la mode, a Granny Smith apple pie.
It's all just like standard
pecan streusel.
Like if I said name 10 desserts without thinking about it, these would probably be the chocolate cake, apple pie a la mode, ice cream, carrot cake, cheesecake, butter. I mean, that's just, those are just
desserts. They have a martini cart. They'll make martinis table side. That's okay. That's kind of cool.
Do you ever drink a martini?
No.
I've never seen you drink a martini. I was like, wait a second.
I've never seen you drink one either, but like.
I don't drink them very often. I've had them.
Martini cart is cool. They also, I'm surprised. I'm actually stunned Cody didn't say this when he was given his order. There's a tableside flambé.
I tried to do that. I tried to do that tableside once, and I almost lit the tablecloth on fire, and we stopped. We were doing tableside creme brulees, and we stopped right after I tried to light the table on fire. And one time I had to do Cherry's Jubilee tableside, which is also on fire.
You guys want to split the 40-ounce Wagyu tomahawk?
How much is it?
$3.45. 40 ounces.
Man.
40 ounces? I mean, that is conforms? A big steak. How many of us are splitting this thing? Yeah. That's a huge steak.
That's why, actually,
be about 100 bucks a person. 13 ounces, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's still too much. Yeah, you're a fifth person and you're a sixth person. Mm-hmm. Split that six ways and we're pretty much just paying the same price.
Yeah. See, if we would have finished last place in Circa Millions, we'd all just take the whole group.
I should have asked you, Gold, how many of these things you wouldn't eat? Steak tartare, you're not going to eat. Well,
because of allergy, the crustacean and raw section is completely out for me.
But you could eat steak tartare, but you're not gonna. That's fine. But, that's not a food I don't think is on your list.
Capers and stuff, I'm good.
Would you eat the Wagyu carpaccio?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
Nope.
Just joking.
Umami or whatever's in there? The aioli's umami or whatever? No.
Yeah.
I'm out.
What's just not...
Yeah.
Anti?
I'm focused on the steak section.
I'm interested. I think the entire appetizer section looks it's just pretty much all.
Supposedly the Big Red burger is supposed to be amazing. It's just I struggle to get a hamburger at a steakhouse, but I've heard it's amazing from people that have for the last week they've had private invite only type stuff and people have gone and
posted. Somebody posted a video on Twitter. That was where I saw the picture of the steak. They have a bunch of the items. I think the Alchemy, I've seen that one too, and then they had a couple other things on there.
It is kind of tough to order. It is kind of tough to order a burger.
At a steakhouse, yeah.
A steakhouse. That's kind of tough.
So that is the random question.
You're saying you would judge people.
Of the day. No, I just say I wouldn't order. I don't think he's judging people, are
you? No,
if somebody next to you, hang on. I think Cody
does judge orders. I ordered spaghetti and meatballs at an Italian restaurant, and that was not normal, apparently.
They have spaghetti and Wagyu meatballs here.
If the three of us went to have dinner at this place, and the table next to us, or somebody from afar, had a burger, I feel like you would, under your breath, say, man, that person really ordered that burger.
Honestly, I don't care. The ones I judge are when you're getting fajitas.
Like what Gold did.
You're getting your steak flambé tableside. You want people to look at you. That's fine. That's your choice, but you definitely want the attention. Just like ordering fajitas at a restaurant. You want people to follow the sizzle and see that it went all the way over to Drew's table.
All right, up next, let's talk a little Chiefs football with Josh Klingler, who will be on the sideline in the Meadowlands Sunday Night Football. Chiefs, Giants, we'll discuss that. Plus, we'll talk a little bit more about Mahomes' performance in the 30s compared to what we saw from Tom Brady. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.